Bitcoin is, in my opinion, the future of money. Why trade it for euro or pound or dollars if you're going to hold on to the Bitcoin and be able to use it in the future?
Hello from London. How are you all doing?
Are you looking forward to your weekend?
Right, I am here down in London. I've been recording a few interviews before I head off on holiday next week. A well-needed short break with my kids. Got a couple of great shows I've done this week, actually. So yesterday, I interviewed Nigel Farage, which I know a lot of you are going to be interested in. And today, I'm also going to be interviewing Konstantin Kissin, which is somebody I've been following for some time. Very interesting guy. So looking forward to that. Then it's 5 days off, back for a few days. Then I'm off to Australia for our live event, which, by the way, if you're in Australia and you want to come, please do head over to whatbitcoindid.com, click on WBD Live and get yourself a ticket. Anyway, welcome to the What Bitcoin Did podcast, which is brought to you by the legends at Iris Energy, the largest NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin miner using 100% renewable energy. I'm your host, Peter McCormack, and today I have Samantha Duval on the show. Now, you might know that surname because her father, Ben, has also been on the podcast in the past, and now we have his daughter, who's also, I think, better and smarter than her dad. Now, I first heard about Sam and met her at BTC Prague. She got up on stage after Michael Saylor and absolutely crushed it. And I was so impressed with their presentation, I said to her dad, I said, look, she needs to come on the podcast. And for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I don't want to be condescending. She's got this through merit. This isn't a novelty. But that said, you know, I need a show to show my daughter. My daughter is a similar age. I've been trying to orange pill her. She just thinks I'm some weird boomer talking about stupid money. I want to put this show in front of her, see what she thinks, see if this inspires her. And hopefully this will be a great show to put in front of some of your kids as well. Even if it's not your kids, just listen. Samantha is super smart. She's a great Bitcoiner. I think she's got a great career ahead of us. Anyway, listen, you got any questions about this or anything else, drop me an email. It's hello@whatbitcoindid.com. Tomorrow, we're in the next round of the FA Cup. Keep your fingers crossed for Real Bedford playing MK Irish again. Hopefully we will win that one. All right, enjoy the show. I mean, my view is, fuck school. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't swear. My view is screw school. I mean, huh? What's going to be a better education, Riga or school?
Riga.
There we go. I think we
can. My old school, for some reason, like, was like, yeah, you can go on a 3-month skiing trip, but you cannot go 2 weeks to El Salvador. That is absolutely not acceptable.
They have these dumb rules. I have it with my daughter. So I'm like, yeah, because there's ski trips and rugby trips and cricket trips. And I'm like, hey, I want to take my kids to Glastonbury for 3 days. No, no, no. I was like, well, this is musical education.
Exactly.
Big part of life. Samantha, welcome to What Bitcoin Did.
Thank you.
Is this your first podcast?
No, not yet. Well, not my first one.
How many have you done?
I've had one in person and two over camera, not in person.
So I don't even get the first in person. What shows have you been on? You better not have been on Pomp.
No, phew. I've been on one with, I forgot the name, but it was in the Czech Republic when I was at...
Meh, I don't care. Who else?
And DJ Valerie and Once Bitten.
Once Bitten. Who's that?
Daniel Prince.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Prince, of course. Because his daughter...
is my age, yeah.
She's your buddy.
Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they don't count. This is the first big one.
Okay.
I'm only joking, Princey. Well, thank you for coming on. You're not here as a novelty. You're here because I saw your unbelievable presentation in Prague. I didn't know you were going on after Saylor. And like a typical boomer, I don't know if I was a bit condescending, but I was a bit worried about you going on after him, and you absolutely crushed it. I think you know you crushed it.
Thank you.
What was it like for you?
So before, of course, I was very nervous because it's the first big stage I've been on. I've only been in El Salvador stage before then. That was only maybe a couple of hundred people, but this one was really like more than 1,000 people, I think. And I was nervous before it, but when I was on stage, I tried to keep it natural, just talk about what I wanted to talk about. And after I was done, I felt proud of myself and relieved and a mix of emotions at the same time.
So it could easily be seen as novelty getting you on because you're 12, right?
Yeah, I'm 12.
Yeah, it could be seen as a novelty. Oh, just going to get you on because you're 12 and whatever. But actually, there's a couple of reasons that I wanted to get you on the podcast. Well, three reasons. Firstly, is that it's important for us to think about kids and Bitcoin and how kids think about Bitcoin and education for the future. I've got two kids as well, and so that's important. Secondly, you gave an amazing presentation. On its own, forget about your age. It was, yeah, a really good presentation.
Thank you.
And the third reason is you're better than your dad. And so we're going to pump your numbers as well. But no, they're all reasons to get you on. And I think us as Bitcoiners, sometimes we can be a little bit, we live in our own little world. We talk about stupid things that you know about. We talk about when Blockbuster was here and now we have streaming. We talk about when there was a time when there's no mobile phones. And we don't think about the things that you think about, where this is all just natural.
Yeah.
So I think you can hopefully open our eyes up a little bit here. But firstly, just so people know who you are, because some of them might not, just introduce yourself.
So I'm Samantha Duval. I'm 12 years old, born in April. I live in Germany, but my dad is Benjamin Duval. I learned about Bitcoin when I was actually almost from when I was born. I just had it as a thing growing up. I've never really learned about banks, but have learned about Bitcoin. Of course, use Bitcoin as much as possible. And yeah, it's mainly about me.
So there's no time like, so for example, with me, I can go, well, in 2013, I discovered Bitcoin because of X. And then in 2017, I actually started using Bitcoin and then started learning about the world of Bitcoin. For you, it's been a bit more like, it's always been there, like mobile phones, the internet, Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's always been like that. The most I could say to that would be when I started using Bitcoin more frequently was about when I went to Swan Bitcoin and when I went to El Salvador, just because in Germany, unfortunately, there's not that many places you can pay with Bitcoin yet. But I will orange pull more places, hopefully.
There we go. Okay, so I think a good starting point is, for us as adults, people like me, what are our blind spots with regards to kids?
So to keep it first on Bitcoin, because I do have a few spots there, a lot of people always think that I, as a 12-year-old Bitcoiner, am just reading a script off that my dad wrote when I was on stage and that I don't know anything about Bitcoin. But I try to prove them wrong, of course, because, well, they are wrong. But I have to say that I don't get taken serious sometimes just because I am a kid. And I feel like adults need to treat kids sometimes like they are grown-ups and not just like they're 5-year-olds that don't know anything about the world.
Well, listen, I'll make you feel better. I'm 44 and most people in Bitcoin don't take me seriously. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. You're already ahead. I think that's a battle you're going to have for a while.
Yeah.
But I think you'll have it more outside of Bitcoin than in Bitcoin.
I also have it outside of Bitcoin, yes. Like when I try to convince the old school that I went to, I'm now thankfully changing schools, about, hey, I want to go to El Salvador for 2 weeks. I want to go there on a Bitcoin stage and I want to talk about Bitcoin to people. They just think I can't do that because I'm a kid and my dad's just forcing me into something. But he's not.
Right, let's get into that. Okay, so during the school term, you wanted to go away for a 2-week break.
Yep.
And what's the process? Do you pitch it first or does your dad ask? Or
So I have to tell them that, hey, I'm going to go away for 2 weeks. They give me a paper and then I have to have all my subject teachers sign it and tell me like what to do while I'm also on my leave. And then I also needed to have a little more discussion with them about why do you want to do it. And then they also discussed with me, you know, you've been sick a lot before this school year. Why are you now also leaving for another 2 weeks? That's going to miss a lot of your learning. But in my personal opinion, I think I learned more with being at Pacific Bitcoin and at adopting Bitcoin in El Salvador than learning in school.
And so when you pitch this to the teachers, you obviously bring up the subject Bitcoin, and most of us in our little Bitcoin world are seen as weirdos on the outside world. Is it more the fact they didn't take Bitcoin seriously or they didn't take you seriously with the Bitcoin, or a bit of both?
I think it's really both, because the teachers always, when they talk about a topic that's somehow connected to a student, they always kind of look at the student like, hey, isn't that like your topic and you're passionate about it? But then they also sometimes talk about it. Yeah, this topic is great, but you, on the other hand, you're too young to know. You're just too young.
So they think it's your dad just feeding you ideas?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what they think.
So how did you deal with that?
I basically just talked them into, well, I'm going to go anyways. I'm sorry, but I am going to go. And after a while, they just said, oh, yeah, fine. Okay, we're signing it, but you better like do online Google Classroom stuff. I did use Google Classroom a bit, but I was mainly just reading on what they posted because I think I'm a little bit ahead of my class. So I didn't really need to actively try and learn things while I was there because I actively was learning things about Bitcoin. So,
did you have to discuss Bitcoin with your teachers? And did you have any tricky conversations where they were, didn't understand it or they were not taking it serious?
A little. Yeah. So most teachers that I actually tried to even just bring the topic up were like, no, this is not part of like our lesson plan and I need to do other stuff. This is not important. Just drop the idea. But there was one teacher that was actually my design subject teacher that has already known a bit about Bitcoin and was in the Bitcoin space for a few years. And he was actually like, yeah, I can easily sign permission and you don't actually need to do anything for design while you're off for those 2 weeks.
So has this given you a different perspective on schooling? What do you think about schooling?
Well, in Germany, I don't like schooling that much anyways because we have this thing called Schulpflicht that we have to go to school and there's no easy way to just say, hey, I'm going to a Bitcoin conference. Why can't I just like get out of school?
What do you mean Schulpflicht?
Schulpflicht. It's a German word for you have to go to school.
Compulsory.
Yeah, it's like requirement that you go to school unless you're sick and have like a sick note or whatever.
A legal requirement.
Exactly.
Okay, and if you don't go, dad gets in trouble.
Exactly.
Right, okay. I mean, I think we have something similar here. Yeah, no, I know, because we call it, if kids don't go to school, we call it truant. If they go truant and they skip school, if they skip school enough, then the parents, I think it's the police or the local authorities will contact the parents. The parents can get in trouble. So we have something similar.
Unfortunately, in Germany, also online schooling isn't allowed, though. You have to go to school in person. Only for the coronavirus lockdown, I actually had online schooling, but there's no easy other possible way. Or homeschooling.
You can do homeschooling, you can't.
We can't.
You're not allowed to homeschool?
No, nope, not in Germany.
Huh. So you have to go to school and you have to do the curriculum they want.
Yep.
Is there opportunity for kind of individualism, individual flair, individual ideas?
I think because I went to an international school, I think it was more expressed there in the international school just because there's so many different people with so many different like opinions. I think, yes, I did express myself a little more there, but now I'm going to a German school that I actually think for some reason that it's going to be easier to orange pill because in the international school, I feel like they had their strong opinions like, hey, we are an international school. There are so many different kids of many cultures, but we stick to these opinions and we are the authority. So that's what we're going to do. But I feel like in the German school that I'm going to go to, it might be a little easier to kind of talk about Bitcoin and why I think it's better, why I think I should be able to go to these podcasts and conferences.
I mean, I think it's pretty exceptional. Sorry. And I mean, again, not in a condescending way, but that as a 12-year-old that you are invited to conferences on your own merit to speak in front of hundreds or now thousands of people. You're invited to go on to podcasts. I mean, this show will be heard by tens of thousands of people. And you're getting it by merit. To me, that feels like something, if you're going to celebrate sports, you know, individualism in sports, I'm a great athlete, why wouldn't you celebrate this?
I don't actually understand why the teachers would not see it that way. I think it's just because I've always grown up with it. It's a casual thing for me. It's literally just like, hey, I have a football team that I support. I want to go to the match. The school says, sure. I want to go to a Bitcoin conference. I want to support the Bitcoiners. I want to see these presentations. The school says, no, I don't understand the difference.
So they might let you come to watch my football team.
I can ask.
We can Trojan horse some Bitcoin there for you. Okay, so again, is this another example of adults not understanding children? And what would you change about schooling?
I'd change that if I changed that. If the student if it's capable of already knowing the stuff that's going to be learned, that they should definitely be able to try and learn as much as possible. So I think school shouldn't be, hey, you have to go to school for school. I think school should be, you have to go there for learning. And I feel like that's not expressed enough in the old school that I went to, because when I want to go to math class and it's too easy for me, I have to go there, I have to do it anyways. But if I want to go to somewhere else to learn something which I find more important, like Bitcoin, for some reason I'm just not allowed to because I have to go to school. And if I'm not going to learn anything, well, then too bad. I have to be there anyways. I have to finish the assignments.
Yeah, it's like that support for this individual flair. And it's almost like they're missing this unique thing that you've got. And with the wrong kid, I think that could be lost. All right, well, let's talk about El Salvador. Did you go to PAC Bitcoin first or El Salvador first? Which was the order?
Pacific Bitcoin first.
Okay, so you went up to LA.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing you there.
I wasn't on stage there. I only flew there with my dad because he worked at Swan Bitcoin and he was required to be there.
Okay.
So we were both there. I hung out mostly at the arcade area. I found that area really fun. I paid for the food in Bitcoin. My dad gave me a few sats before that so I could pay for a few things. And
all right, let's back up a second. Okay, yeah. So Bitcoin's always been around. Do you get pocket money or do you work for your money?
I get pocket money monthly.
Always in Bitcoin?
Oh, almost always in Bitcoin.
Almost always in Bitcoin.
My mom gives me sometimes money to go to the mall where, unfortunately, no Bitcoin yet. But if I just keep going into shops asking, can I pay with Bitcoin, and walking out, if they say no, at some point they're going to have to say, fine, we accept Bitcoin.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
What do your friends say when you do that?
They get kind of annoyed because, oh my God, we wanted frozen yogurt today, Sam. Well, too bad. They don't accept Bitcoin and I don't have any money with me except for my Bitcoin. Too bad.
Love it. Okay. So... I mean, you never tell how much Bitcoin you've had, but you get your Bitcoin, you have your own, I guess you've got your own custody solution, you've got your own wallets.
So I have a cold storage that unlocks when I'm older. That's where my main money is stored that I'm going to like use in the future. I don't want to spend it now yet because Bitcoin will be the future money and I want to save it for then when I'm older. And I also have a Lightning wallet on my phone where I just get a few sats like every month or whatever. And that always is relatively low anyways because I spent them, so.
Okay, I'm going to tell you again why this is brilliant, why you're here by merit, because I'm going to tell you another story. So the majority of people that come on my show are men, and predominantly white men. That's a lot of Bitcoin. And I'm a single man and I was dating a girl and she looked up my podcast on YouTube. And she said to me, she said, you haven't got hardly any women on here. You need more women. And I asked her why. She said, well, I don't really want to hear from blokes and men how I should manage my money. I want to hear from women. I was like, huh. And so we've made a conscious effort to get more women on the podcast. My daughter does not listen to my podcast. She knows what I do. I guarantee she'll listen to this. And I guarantee she's going to come back to me and say, Dad, I want some pocket money in Bitcoin. And again, this is why you're here by merit, because that's useful. Okay, so you're like literally going into shops and harassing people. I love this.
Oh yeah.
Have you converted any shops yet?
I think one of them I already kind of converted. They said they're going to think about it and they put a Bitcoin sticker up. They don't really understand how it works. I mean, when I tried to pay with Bitcoin, they opened the app and didn't really understand it. I had to press the buttons for them. And I think they only did it for me because I go there a lot. But I hope that if I just go there more and maybe even send my friends on their own, that they're going to just have it for everyone.
Okay, so have you orange-pilled some of your friends?
Almost all of them, I think.
What kind of volume, what kind of number are we talking about?
We're talking about, well, my class is 11 people. The other class is also like 13 people. I think I've probably orange-pilled like 20 of the 24.
So you got like 20 of the kids orange-pilled. And you're trying to get so it's the teachers who are behind.
Yeah.
This is like a youth revolution within the school.
Yeah.
Do you have a meetup for you all where you discuss Bitcoin?
We always hang out after school. Like okay. I always hang out Fridays with them and it's usually Fridays. I don't really know what they discuss the other days, but Fridays we usually do discuss Bitcoin quite a bit, especially for those friends that still have so many questions for me. Like some of them were like, okay, so I think it's an environmental killer. Then I had a huge discussion with them about why it's actually good for the environment, and now they kind of get it. And I just have to explain more and more until they finally fully understand.
Okay, okay. So of your 20 friends who are orange-pilled, there's going to be a spectrum. Are there any who are near in your level where they can go and orange-pill people?
I think 5 of them probably.
Okay, okay. And I wonder, do you know if they're going home and then talking to their parents about it?
2 of them have told me that they've talked to their parents about it. One of them, I was playing an online game and they wanted to buy me some currency in that online game, but I didn't have any money on me. So I said, hey, install this wallet right here. Install Wallet of Satoshi. I will send you some Satoshis. And then she went to her dad and went like, hey, dad, there's this really cool thing. And her dad also happened to know about it before and also had a wallet installed, but just never talked about it to his daughter because he thought his daughter was a little too young to actually understand this.
See, I think that's another thing. I think because there is some complexities with Bitcoin. Technically with, you know, managing your private keys, with your wallets. I think thinking that maybe a 10, 11, 12-year-old can handle this, I think it may be a bit presumptuous of us. I mean, I've thought that about my daughter. My son's 19, right? So I'm, you know, actively in the process. He came to me, right? You'll love this. So when he was, when both my kids were born, I put £50 a month into a bank account for them. Which, by the way, that's, for my son, that started in 2004. If it had been 2009, if I'd just put £50 into Bitcoin, he'd have a lot of money. But anyway, so he had like £12,000 by the time he got access to the account. He just came to me and said, Dad, I want to put it all into Bitcoin. Obviously, I'm like, great. But I'm like, okay, because you're 19. But with my daughter, I was like, no, we should maybe wait. But I'm probably waiting too long now, aren't I?
Maybe, yeah. Could be.
All right. I'll tell you what, I am definitely going to get her to listen to this and I'll give you the feedback. Okay, so your group of friends, your little revolution, you've orange-pilled a bunch of them. Yeah. They're now talking to their parents. Has this become... Have you guys managed to get to a point where it's been discussed in class?
It has been discussed once, but that was by the headmaster. I think she just talked about it because I talked to her about Bitcoin recently. She was like, okay, so there's a few things about the future, you know, that we didn't expect. Like, you know, AI models are coming out and there's this thing called Bitcoin. She took a pause and just looked at me for like 5 seconds. I felt really like uncomfortable. Then some of the class students also turned to me like, are you okay? And then she just continued talking about like a few things. One of the students raised their hands and asked a question about Bitcoin. She was like, I don't know. And then that student turned to me and I discussed with them after class about it.
This show is brought to you by BitCasino. Now, BitCasino was established in 2013 and is the world's first licensed Bitcoin casino. It is trusted by tens of thousands of players worldwide. And not only do they have cutting-edge security, but they offer fast withdrawals and VIP experiences that money can't buy. BitCasino has over 2,800 games and tournaments for you to try out. And with their 24/7 live chat support, you can always get help if you need. Now, if you want to find out more about BitCasino, the first Bitcoin casino to win an EGR award, head over to bitcasino.io, which is BitCasino.io. And please remember to gamble responsibly. Next up, we have Unchained. Now, the events and exchanges and in traditional banks over the last year were all an important reminder of how critical it is for you to take control of your private keys. But taking ownership of your Bitcoin keys, you know what? It can be daunting. That's why our good friends at Unchained offer a personalized concierge onboarding service. Now, I have personally been through this process and set up the vaults for my football team, Real Bedford. And you know what? I know this is a personal recommendation here, but the multi-sig solution which Unchained have created is so easy to use. They ship the required devices to you and they walk you through it step by step so you can understand exactly how the vaults work. Now, after you're set up, Unchained continues to provide you with regular support to help you get comfortable with controlling your keys. So if you've been putting off taking control of your Bitcoin wealth, Unchained's concierge onboarding is a simple way for you to get started. Get it done sooner rather than later. You can book your onboarding today at unchained.com/whatbitcoindid. And at the checkout, you can get $50 off with the promo code whatbitcoindid. That is unchained.com, unchained.com/whatbitcoindid. Also today we have Wasabi, who I am using to keep my Bitcoin private. Now, Wasabi is the easiest way to send and receive Bitcoin privately. And even for non-technical people like me, it is effortless and provides privacy by default. Now, with Wasabi, there is no minimum amount, so you can start coin joining straight away. And Wasabi makes CoinJoin transactions together with BTC Pay and Trezor users, and BTC Pay server users can make payments in CoinJoin, which saves on fees and is a privacy improvement. Also, Wasabi just dropped a badass new feature. Now, Trezor Suite users can CoinJoin directly on the hardware wallet, which obviously is very cool. Now, if you want to find out more, please head over to wasabiwallet.io, which is WASABIWALLET.io. Okay, let's go back to Pack Bitcoin. We've backed up. We understand your backstory. Do you actually even remember how old you were when you first got Bitcoin? Is it just literally always been there?
I think my dad bought it for me when I was like really small. Like I was just a few months old or something. Okay. So I don't remember the exact day, no.
See, the other thing for someone like me, I've grown up with cash and my card. Bitcoin was a new thing I had to adopt, right? So I had to think about volatility. I had to think about currency conversions in my head. But if you've always had it, it's a bit like the internet. You don't know a world of no internet. So this is all just natural to you.
Yeah.
So I probably should have started even younger. All right. Anyway, back to Pack Bitcoin, the first conference.
Yep.
Yeah, what was that like
first
for you?
One I was at. So when I was watching the presentations, I found most of them very honestly finance focused at Pacific Bitcoin. It was more of the trading and hey, this is worth that much. But I never really had any interest in the trading because Bitcoin is, in my opinion, the future of money that is going to be used. So why trade it for euro or pound or dollars if you're going to hold on to the Bitcoin and be able to use it in the future? And if you want to if you want to put your euro, pound or dollar into Bitcoin, I never had to think of that either because I just get paid my pocket money by my dad in Bitcoin.
I'm so worried for my job right now, Ben. Please don't start a podcast. I'll pack up. Okay. All right. So what talks do you want to go to then? What are the areas that you're most interested in with Bitcoin?
So I actually found the one in BTC Prague. I found that one really good just because they had like a wide variety of speakers. And I really liked the fact that they had like a mini check stage for like just people in the area to come and also learn a bit about it. I think that was really well organized and that they had like a big community hall hangout area. I think that's also how more Bitcoiners can really connect with each other and not just see each other on stage, actually have conversations, because otherwise it's usually just in the audience or more kind of outside of food areas where you just want to eat, relax, have a break usually.
Well, actually, no, we want to hang out.
Well, yeah. it's when I try to approach people though at Pacific Bitcoin, they were usually eating or just like in the corner somewhere where I thought, okay, maybe I won't talk to that person right now, and just waited until they were like roaming through the halls to try and approach them.
Were there specific people you wanted to meet?
So I was already looking at my dad's Twitter a tiny bit. I didn't have a Twitter yet, but I was looking at my dad's Twitter and Lena, the little hodler person, I really wanted to meet her. Didn't see her there. At least I'm pretty sure I didn't see her there, but I did see her at BTC Prague.
Yeah, she's great. We've got a Rail Bedford little hodler coming soon.
I have the BTC Prague hodler and the girl hodler.
All right, well, I'll get you a Rail Bedford one. Okay, so let's talk about El Salvador because, yeah, that's Bitcoin country. I don't know if you know, I've been a few times and I was lucky enough to interview the president. Very interesting experience. I was very nervous for that. not as nervous as I am today, but I was pretty nervous for that. Tell me about your visit to El Salvador. What were you looking forward to? Did it meet your expectations? Was it different from your expectations?
So personally, I was really looking forward to actually paying things in Bitcoin because in Germany, I can pay for a few things, but it's more usually here, put your card here, and I don't have a card. I can't even open a bank account with 12. But in El Salvador, I could just use the money that I've grown up with, which is Bitcoin, anywhere, which was really exciting. And I really liked the fact that when we went to McDonald's, that there was a separate button that said pay with Bitcoin. It just felt right to have a button that said pay with Bitcoin.
Yeah. I went to McDonald's on the day Bitcoin launched as legal tender. I went and got a, What did I have? A double cheeseburger. Worked really smooth. Really smooth. Okay, so where did you go into San Salvador, the capital?
Yeah.
Okay, did you go to El Zonte?
Yeah, we went there.
What do you think of El Zonte?
I think it's a lot different to where I live in Germany. I think it's just the community. It's also a different continent, but it's the communities that are just different. But I think it's a really nice community of nice people. And the fact that they all use Bitcoin just kind of, well, most of them use Bitcoin at least because it's the legal tender there. It just kind of connects people a bit more because when everyone uses euro or dollar or pound, sure, it connects people a tiny bit, but they don't really need to understand it. They went to finance school and they understand how to open a bank account and stuff, but they don't really have so many aspects to it. I mean, you pay with stuff for it. That's all most people know. But with Bitcoin, it's a bit more, this can also help the world. This can be more environmentally friendly and stuff. And a lot of people can just kind of meet each other through Bitcoin that are also, for example, environmentalists.
Okay, so let's now fast forward to Prague. You get an invite to do a presentation. How do you plan for that?
So first, I wrote down in notes like what I'm actually going to have to present about. And then I make, usually I just use Google Slides because in my opinion, it's the easiest.
No, I mean, what message did you want to get across? Were you know, you're going to do a presentation. What did you want to leave people thinking?
Yeah, that's the thing. I put in Google Slides what I think really strongly, like, for in BTC Prague, it was the Kids Bitcoin Month that I was mainly focusing to try and get really people to think about, because I feel like the whole idea of Bitcoin Kids Month really just connects with what I've been passionate about, Bitcoin and kids in Bitcoin spaces that can really find topics that they're all interested in.
Okay. But again, the message, so kids in Bitcoin, but what message would you, because your message is going out to adults.
Yeah.
And I know some kids will get to it, but it's going to be mainly be heard by adults. What do you want us to hear from you?
I want adults to hear that Bitcoin can be also used by kids and that they aren't always supposed to be so focused on, hey, this is trade, hey, this is this. More that Bitcoin can really be reliable for everyone because not all adults in the Bitcoin space understand that. I mean, the Bitcoin space is a really big space and a lot of people with different interests.
Okay. So you keep talking about bank accounts. You've never had one. You can't get one?
I can't get one. I'm 12 years old in Germany. It's 16, I think.
We can do a weird thing in the UK where you can like get a card on a parent's account. My kids never had one. Do you want a bank account or do you think you might have to have one by necessity?
I hope I don't have to have one by necessity.
Okay.
Might happen, but I hope I don't. I'd prefer if I'd just be able to use Bitcoin in the future.
Only Bitcoin?
I think, yes, only Bitcoin, just because I feel like if I am able to use Bitcoin in the future, then if everyone finally understands it, it would be more openly discussed and people wouldn't be so closed and scared of, hey, this is crypto, this is scary. Instead, if it were just used by more people, more shops, it would be openly discussed a little more.
Okay, so look, there's going to be a lot of people in Bitcoin who have got kids who have, it hasn't resonated with them the way it has with you. Why has Bitcoin grabbed you so much? Why do you think it has appealed to you?
It helps me a lot with a lot of things that I believe in strongly. Like, I personally really like the environment. I've had, especially in the international school, we discussed a lot about, hey, this could happen to our environment. We're not supposed to litter so much, burn fossil fuels so much, stuff like that. And Bitcoin using the leftover, like, things. I forgot how they're called.
Unused energy, wasted energy.
That thing, unused energy and wasted energy. I think that really just helps me kind of see why both things are good and why we need it. Because if I have two interests that can connect with each other, it makes me interested in both of them more.
Okay, and how do you cope with the volatility?
Sometimes it's a little hard to cope with it, to be honest. So I'm not sure, always sure if I always cope with it.
Because you're essentially on a Bitcoin standard yourself.
Yeah.
If you've only ever really had Bitcoin, apart from the few euros that your mum may give you occasionally for certain things, you are living fully on a Bitcoin standard.
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
It is sometimes, especially when I want to pay with Bitcoin somewhere and I can't orange pull them as quick as I hoped or expected. And then it's a little annoying sometimes, but if we give it time, it will work.
Does that affect your decision making on when you're going to buy certain things?
It does sometimes. So when I get Euro in the morning to just buy bread rolls or whatever, I do it. It's easy. But if I want to use Bitcoin, which I mainly do want to use, it depends. Like, okay, I'm not going to be able to use it today. I know it. I still need to orange pull them. So I'll walk into the shop. I might send like, hey, friend, can you help me? And also walk into the shop, ask for Bitcoin. And then I go to that one shop a week later. And if they still don't, for example, accept Bitcoin and I need like a birthday gift for my dad had his birthday recently, then I'll just have to pay in Euro because unfortunately I couldn't make it.
You can't miss his birthday. What is this about daughters and not missing birthdays? My daughter gets mine every, my son, he's 19. He still forgets my daughter every birthday. She gets it. Why are girls so good at this?
I think I just kind of remembered my family's birthday, like, I know my grandma's, my grandpa's, mom's, dad's, great-grandma's. I just know people's birthday because I connect it with their identity. For example, my dad's birthday is on the 11th of August. I always connect it. And he always likes autumn. He just likes the leaves and the breeze and the clouds. So I can easily connect that with him.
My kids can never forget mine because it's Halloween. And do you know why that's an also important date? October 31st.
October 31st, yeah, that's...
White Paper Day. Yeah. Think that's a coincidence?
No, probably.
Yes, yeah, of course it is. yeah.
It's not coincidence, it's destiny.
It's a love... Oh my God, Sam, I love you. All right. Okay, so you've done a lot so far. Do you think much about your future in terms of... inside Bitcoin or outside Bitcoin, or is it all one to you?
To me, Bitcoin is just part of my life. So I don't really have a life and a Bitcoin life. It's both just integrated into my main life, where, of course, I think about the future a lot. Especially, I think, as a kid, kids think about the future a lot because as kids, you always want to be older than your actual age. But then when you're adults, you want to be a little younger.
Yep.
Because as kids, you always want to say, hey, I want to be able to actually do things for myself. I want to be able to go out. I want to be able to be heard more. Like, people have to take me seriously. But then as adults, it's like, but as a kid, it was easier. As a kid, my back problems didn't exist. My legs didn't hurt all the time.
Oh my God, you like know all my problems. I had to have a back surgery a couple of years ago. Look, don't grow up. It's a trick. I'm telling you, it is a trick. There's a meme of that. Yeah, I think the question I was asking is career wise. Like when you think about what you want to do when you grow up, when you're young, you think about that. Do you think in terms of what you've been doing now? Do you see that as a future or is this a side gig for you?
Both. So okay. I'd say I've always actually as a kid wanted to be an actor. But connecting it with Bitcoin, I think it would be really fun. Like I recently, it's still in production, so made an ad for Seedhammer. And I think doing stuff like that would be really, really fun. Just integrating Bitcoin into an acting life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wonder if you can do anything for us guys.
Hopefully, probably.
We've got a football club, a podcast and a bar. You probably can't do the bar, although that might be funny. I'll have a think about that. What about in terms of presentations? Are you planning to do any more conferences? Do you want to?
I'm planning to come to as many as possible.
Have you got any lined up?
So I want to go to the one in Riga, but we'd have to ask the school and stuff. Yeah. I'm hopefully going to go to the one in El Salvador again this year. Mm-hmm. BTC Prague next year. I'm definitely going there. I don't really think I want to go to the Miami conference, to be honest.
Well, it's going to Nashville now. So why do you think you don't want to go?
I think it's not really the part of Bitcoin that I really enjoy since there's so many aspects of Bitcoin. I think it's more of the companies and buying and trading, which isn't really the part I'm interested in.
I would pitch it to you in a different way. I think that conference probably needs you more than you need that conference. So when you start thinking about it in terms of what you want to get out of it, I think you're possibly right, but I think of what Bitcoin can get from you. Sorry, Dad. I actually think it'd be very useful. I mean, look, as your career in, you know, presenting, it'll be another step up, because BTC Prague, I think you were in front of a couple of thousand people. There, you could be in front of 2-3 times that. So that's a progression for you, but I think you'll nail it. But I also think it's important for those people to hear from somebody like you. This message is super important. Your education and the way you think about Bitcoin, the way your kids think about Bitcoin is super important. Miami isn't, I'm not a huge Miami fan, but Nashville is cool. So I would pitch you to do it for us, for selfish reasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll definitely take that into account.
Are you thinking about different topics you want to do? Would you maybe write a book? Don't start a podcast.
Books, yes. I've always enjoyed reading as a kid since I was small, and I always really liked when we were allowed to write stories. And like fourth grade, we had a long time where we were just allowed to type whatever we wanted. Like today, our topic is going to be about, I don't know, the Titanic. Just come up a story including the Titanic. It can be a Titanic in space if you want, honestly.
Love it.
So as a fourth grader, I did integrate Bitcoin into one of my stories once, but I was kind of scared. Like as a fourth grader, I was insecure. Like, what would the teacher say? What if the teacher like gets me in trouble? Because I've always heard from so many people that Bitcoin is bad and stuff. And I was scared. What if it's only a thing that a few people actually know that's good? But now when I'm older, I just look back at that and think I was just being a little scared and insecure about something I wasn't supposed to. And I try to include Bitcoin in a lot more of my Google Sheets and Google presentations, just a little without my teachers noticing so much, but them still noticing and having the thought idea in mind. Like, there was an experimental thing. If you play a movie and there's going to be a millisecond of seeing Coca-Cola, people are more likely to buy a Coca-Cola and drink it afterwards.
This show is brought to you by Ledin. Now, from savings accounts to personal loans and even mortgages, Ledin's financial services enable Bitcoiners to experience the benefits of holding today without selling their Bitcoin. Ledin have a robust risk management strategy and always prioritize safeguarding clients' assets with no DeFi yield farming. And Ledin only supports Bitcoin and USDC, two of the highest quality and most liquid assets in the industry. They are also dedicated to transparency and are the first digital asset lending company to complete a proof of reserves attestation, which they re-verify every 6 months. Ledin also have a brand new product, Prime Loans, that allows private wealth clients to lend assets on their terms, and by locking in for a fixed term, they can earn even more interest. Ledin has a team of seasoned experts ready to work with you through the entire process to ensure your assets generates yield while protecting your principal. If you want to find out more, please head over to ledin.io, which is ledin.io. Next up, we have Ledger. Now, Ledger is the world leader in Bitcoin security and is the best way to own and secure your private keys. If you're still holding Bitcoin on an exchange or with a custodian, it might be time to take your security more seriously, because remember, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. The Ledger suite of hardware wallets paired with the Ledger Live app are the easiest and safest way to start managing your own private keys. You can send and sign your Bitcoin transactions with full transparency in the Ledger Live app, and honestly, it couldn't be easier. I have been a Ledger customer since 2017, and I absolutely love their products. Now, if you want to find out more or purchase a hardware wallet from Ledger, then please head over to shop.ledger.com, which is shop.ledger.com. Also, today we have our lead sponsor, Iris Energy. Now, Iris Energy is the largest NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin miner using 100% renewable energy. And their strategy is to target markets with low-cost, excess renewable energy. And they build their own highly efficient Bitcoin data centers and are led by a seasoned management team with a track record of success across renewables, infrastructure, and digital assets. Danny and I met with the team in Canada and were super impressed with their values, which align with us, so they are a great fit for what Bitcoin did. We have now been working with Iris Energy for a number of months across the podcast, films and events, and they're even sponsoring my football team, Real Bedford. It's been really great to work with such a forward-thinking and sustainable Bitcoin company. So if you want to find out more about them, please head over to irisenergy.co, which is irisenergy.co. Listen to you. I love this. All right. So So, okay, so you're going to do more conferences.
Yeah.
You might write more, and you're not going to start a podcast.
No.
Phew, okay, please don't. No, I think you should, by the way. I think you'll crush it. And so when you think of the world of Bitcoin, how are you consuming Bitcoin? Because I consume Bitcoin from Twitter, some podcasts, and some news sites. And then maybe meetups and meeting people talk about it. What are your sources?
So I really, as I mentioned, I really like reading. So I do read a lot of Bitcoin books. I also go a lot on Twitter and read about it there and see what other people think of it. Because I think when you hear other people talk about it, it's just more helpful to see what people's perspectives are and how you can agree, relate, or any of that. I do watch a couple of podcasts, and I actually am planning on installing one or two of the learning apps that my dad has on his phone. It's like a Duolingo, but Bitcoin.
Huh. Which podcast do you watch?
I watch DJ Valerie's podcast because I think she really has a nice community there. And I watch most of the shows that my dad's are on. Like if I see one episode with my dad, I watch that and then watch a couple of other episodes of that podcast.
Keep going. Did you watch What Bitcoin Did?
Yeah, I have watched
only when your dad's
episodes.
On.
No, not only when my dad is on. I saw another one, but I forgot the name of the person right now.
I love DJ Valerie. I saw her. She actually played in Miami. She DJed there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should do a podcast. Maybe we need one, that is.
Maybe we do.
Yeah, because maybe that's the one my daughter would listen to. And maybe then she would tell her friends. And I could help you monetize it. There's good money in podcasting, by the way. I could help you with that. Okay, so when you're seeing the topics that people are discussing on Twitter, what are the ones you are drawn to, and what are the things you think we're all being stupid about?
So I always get really annoyed when I see all those bots in the comments, like, "Hey, follow this account. This account really helped me understand about crypto." That really annoys me, especially when other people actually fall for that and just. Actually, people that I like know have seen in real life or whatever, just comment on that and actually fall for it. It kind of annoys me a lot, and I try to avoid those like comments. I usually just go on the tweet by now, look at the first few tweets, never go show additional tweets because that's just the bots at this point.
Yeah, but topic wise, like, what do you? You know, if when you see something like ordinals were discussed a lot recently,
yeah,
what do? Do you consume yourself? Do you debate it with your dad?
I usually consume it myself, comment on a few things that I find interesting or that I want to also have an opinion heard by. Like if I see someone writing something that I strongly disagree with, I will openly write in the comments that I disagree with it and why I disagree with it.
Love it. What about you and your dad? What do you disagree on?
I think we disagree on a few topics like interests. Like interest-wise, I really like anime. My dad absolutely hates it. I think I just like anime because I feel like I can relate a lot to the characters, especially because anime a lot of the time has characters that are kids and have a goal and want to achieve that goal. And I feel like a lot of the time I can just relate to that. I want to achieve a certain goal. It's always different goals. Like today, I want to have my room finished cleaning. Something as small as that, I can just feel like I want to do that. So I feel I have the motivation to do that, just like anime characters do.
What about music-wise?
Music-wise, I think I take after both of my parents. And my parents have different music tastes. So my mom has pop, my dad has more rock.
Yeah, good man.
And then I'm a mix.
What rock has your dad got you into?
Well, I really liked
Avril Lavigne?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can see there's a pattern to who your kind of heroes are. You like strong women, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we need more of them in Bitcoin.
We do.
There's not enough. We've got some great people. Natalie Brunell is amazing. Have you met Natalie?
No.
I think you'd get on well with her. I think she's amazing. We have Elizabeth Starks. We have enough, but
I really find Anita very interesting.
Anita's amazing. Have you met Anita?
Well, yeah, I've talked to her.
She's amazing. Hopefully, I can't remember when I'm seeing her next. I'm hopefully going to see her at the Bitcoin conference in Africa. She's been on my podcast a couple of times. She's brilliant. But we definitely need more. We need more kids. We need more women. So perhaps you can help with that as well. What about Bitcoin, though? Do you and your dad disagree on anything on Bitcoin?
Not that I can think of at the top of my head. But I think some of the accounts that he sometimes talks about, or some of the accounts that I talk about, we disagree on just because, like, personally, or just not find as interesting. Like, I saw, it was this morning, I saw a digital art Bitcoin account on Twitter, and my dad doesn't like digital art so much, but he does find it interesting when I talk about it because it's my passion. I really like doing digital art. Like, I actually drew his Twitter profile picture.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have a look at that in a minute. And if people want to follow you, where do they follow you on Twitter?
Sam the BTC Kid.
Sam the BTC Kid.
Yep.
SamTheBTCKid. Right. Yep. Okay, we're going to pump that. If they want to see your presentations, they're available.
Yes.
So
on YouTube, if you just search Samantha Duval, you should find all of the ones that I'm on.
You better spell Duval.
D-E space W. Double A L.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll try and put those in the show notes as well. I think, firstly, you're brilliant. You're so good. And I am a bit worried for my job. I think you should keep doing podcasts. I think you should keep definitely doing events. And I would love to see you at some of the bigger events. And if there's anything we can do to help you, connect you with anyone, you should definitely let us know. I think we should bring your dad in for a few minutes.
Sure.
I mean, because he's here, we don't need him, do we? The support artist.
She's small on.
Yeah. So welcome back, Ben.
Yeah,
might as well have a few minutes with you while you're here. So in prepping for this, it's a weird one because you don't want to be condescending,
yeah.
But also you also at the same time. You are talking to a 12-year-old. You want to also be a bit of fun. That balance is a hard one to try and strike. What's it like as a parent watching her make her kind of own journey in the Bitcoin space and having to deal with people trying to figure this out?
Yeah, I think it's actually very similar to a lot of other aspects of being a parent. You know, you watch your kids doing something. It always in the back of your head, there's those kind of thoughts, she could have said it that way, or she could have done this, or she could have done that. But you know, you have to let your kids be themselves. You have to let them grow and learn and, you know, be their own people. You know, one thing I never want to do is be this kind of authoritarian father who says, you know, this is how the world works. This is how you have to be. This is what you have to do. You know, I'd rather say, you know, I'm introducing you to the world. I'm showing you things. I'm letting you understand, you know, this is the world that we're in. Now, you know, I'll help you make your way, but, you know, making your way is still your way to do, your way to go. It's your things to figure out.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've obviously taken a different approach to parenting and Bitcoin than me. Like, my kids are aware of it because of what I do as a job. And we talk about it sometimes. Or they ask questions or we're in the car. But in the back of my mind, it's always been a thing like, yeah, I'll teach you about it when you're ready. So I'm like, with my son, I am doing that now. He wants to buy Bitcoin and we're talking about custody and we will get around to that. But he's 19 and I've waited till then, and Scarlett's 13. She's a year older than Sam. You've obviously went more proactive and it's obviously paid dividends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the bit I'm interested in, when did that go from you educating Sam to Sam now... Like, how did it become that she wanted to present or did a presentation? Was it, do you say, hey, you should try this? Or did she come to you and say, I want to do this?
I'm not actually entirely sure.
Right,
so
okay.
I distinctly recall one conversation. It was about 6 months before adopting Bitcoin in El Salvador, the second one, so last year, yeah. And I was in the car driving and I mentioned, hey, I'm going to this conference called Adopting Bitcoin. And she basically, I don't remember the exact words, but she basically said something like, hey, Dad, I never adopted Bitcoin. You know, it's just always been there for me. I'm like, That's an incredible point. You know, how about you actually tell other people that? And she's like, yeah, what do you mean? Like, you know, come to the conference and be on stage. I'm like, yeah, why not? And she's like, okay, yeah, let's do that. So it was kind of both of us at the same time just kind of coming up with the idea. But I'd say, you know, it was... I wasn't pushing her to do it. It was just, hey, here's an idea. Let's run with it and see what happens. And I think, you know, she kind of caught the bug from there and was like, okay, you know, she wants to do this. I'll support her doing it.
Okay, so that's the genesis of the idea that we went from Blockbuster to streaming. We've gone from Vit to that. But it's incredibly, it's like an amazing point to make. You never adopted it for you to... And I guess that's one of our blind spots. By the way, Sam, if at any point you want to jump in, just say, I'm going to jump in. I've got a point to make here. But to watch her then go and do it and then do it in Prague, that must be like a proud moment.
Incredible. I mean, in El Salvador and adopting Bitcoin, I went up on stage with her because we weren't sure, you know, is she going to be too nervous? Is she going to have, any problems doing this or whatever? And she totally killed it. And you can actually, if you watch the video on YouTube of the presentation, she's doing autism. And I'm just kind of sitting there on the stage in the background, twiddling my thumbs and like, okay, I don't need to be here. And for Prague, it was, I didn't need to be on stage or anything with her. She totally killed that on her own. I think it really was just a case of, I'm so incredibly proud of her, and I let her know, I think you're doing an amazing job, Sam. And it's not just, however, from me. I think she can also see, the audience reaction and the way other people have, come up to her afterwards and told her that she killed it and so on, because it needs to be from more than just me. It's also part of, what I say is my parenting style. I don't want to be this, authoritarian, I'm in charge, I'm the one who says if you did a good job or a bad job, that's not my role.
Sam, do you want me to level with you?
Sure.
All right. So, do you remember us chatting before you went on stage?
Yeah.
In Prague? Okay. Yeah. For people who don't know, I was MC. So Sam came up and I knew you were doing your presentation. I could tell you're a little bit nervous. I thought, all right, I didn't know anything about your presentation. I never saw your one at Adopting Bitcoin. So I was just like, yeah, cool. Sam's going to go out and talk 5-10 minutes about some kid stuff. Yeah, this is cool that she's doing it, but whatever. And then I heard you start speaking and I came around and watched the front. And I'm not just saying this, I was gobsmacked. You command, because I get nervous on those stages, right? You commanded that stage. You owned that stage. You spoke with clarity, but you had a structurally a very good presentation, and I think a lot of us that like a lot of our jaws are like, huh, and we're really shocked and surprised. And this is why I talk about meritocracy. So I did you the disservice of discrediting you before you went on, and like I kind of have to apologize because I didn't take you as seriously as I should have. And that's why I'm encouraging people to listen to go and check that out, because you've got it by merit. But at the same time, I think you're a really useful conduit to introduce people like my daughter to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I hope you accept my apology.
No, it's fine.
It is an interesting point because we don't talk about kids as much in Bitcoin as perhaps we should, or think about that. And the mistake I've made is that my kids are going to have to adopt Bitcoin, and they shouldn't have had to adopt Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it is an incredibly important point, but also related to that is something Sam actually said on stage during her presentation. The kids are the future. They are the people who are going to be running the world when we're old. We're going to be old men sitting in a nursing home and people of her generation are running the world. Would you rather they are Bitcoiners or not Bitcoiners?
Well, it comes back to that point at the moment, especially in US politics, that so many of the politicians are people in their late 70s and 80s who are voting on policies that affect people, not even my age, but Sam's age. Sam, okay, let me throw this one back at you. Where are we screwing up the world?
I'd say mainly the people that think that they can control society, like a lot of governments and a lot of banks are screwing up the world. So it's not just the people, it's the people in the small communities.
What do you mean by trying to control the world? I'm going to push you here.
So I think that a lot of the governments, especially, for example, in Germany, England and Germany, me and my dad actually talked about this while walking here. In England, everything is basically legal until it's explicitly made illegal. In Germany, it's the other way around. It's everything is illegal until it's explicitly made legal. Like I asked him, what about, for example, let's say, I don't know, drinking orange juice after eating apples. There is actually a thing that you are allowed to drink juices at any point of given time.
But there's a law that... Shut up, come on.
To explain that a bit better, so in Germany, there is basically a law for everything. I don't remember the exact percentage, but some ridiculously large percentage of laws written in the world are written in the German language. It's, way more than you'd expect. And the reason for it is just the ridiculous way that German laws are structured. It really is a case of things are explicitly made to be allowed. And if you haven't explicitly made that somewhere, then it's probably disallowed as a general rule, which... Yeah, it's overly complicated is probably the only way to truly describe it. And as far as food and drink, there are laws which say, you are allowed to, generally speaking, feed yourself, consume things, but it's just like a side note somewhere. But essentially, if that weren't written, then technically speaking, you would not be allowed to do it, is kind of the point.
So Sam, you've essentially, because we are influenced by our parents, I guess there is a, you've got a more libertarian approach to the world because you've been introduced by your dad.
Well, yes, but I also have to say from my mom, it's a little different because she is a German, which means she's also one of the more German style for, hey, I'm going to follow the rules because this is the way all the rules are written and this is the way we do it, so this is the way we do it. But I feel like I kind of come after my dad a bit more to, hey, but why do we have to do it this way? Why are we not allowed to do this thing?
But Bob loves this. I want to have dinner with the Duvals. I want to just throw a few hand grenades out and see where it goes. You must have some great debates.
Sometimes, yeah, but also for at home, a lot of the time, my brother, who's 9 years old, also tries to discuss with us sometimes. And my brother is more of the person that just agrees with an opinion because it is the opinion of the person. So, like, if I say I like the color orange, next week his favorite color is orange.
Right.
If I tell my dad I like orange, he says, well, that's cool. That's an interesting fact. If I tell my mom I like the color orange, my mom's going to be, yeah, okay, I guess. Do you like the color orange? But my dad's more like, yeah, but why is orange the color? Like, do you just like it in general or what? Like, my dad asks more questions, and I think I come after my dad in that sense.
Yeah, that's it. I like that, though. Is your brother adopting Bitcoin? Oh, God, I used the wrong word.
Very, very, very slowly he's also getting into it. He did get Bitcoin at a young age, but he's a little younger in his mental age than his actual age, so we still haven't gotten him a phone or whatever, so he still needs to learn a little more. Like, he's 9 years old, unfortunately can't read fully yet. He still can read a little, though, but I feel like when he can read and stuff, he'll be able to understand it more also from books and not just have it as, hey, my sister and dad talk about it.
Yeah, I wonder how much more he'll pick up from you and how much more from dad. That's because he's, you had one line, which is through dad. He's got two. He's got sister and dad. Parents can be busy sometimes. I think he might come through you a bit more and you might shape him a bit more. Yeah, it's fascinating. Ben, I'm so glad to do this. Like I say, this I've never recommended a show to my daughter. My son listens to some. And this one, he will listen to, but it will kind of bypass him. But it's the perfect show for my daughter. Yeah. And that might spark a bit of interest in her.
I certainly hope so. And also I hope that's true of anyone else listening to this, any parents who are watching this, if you've got kids, especially girls around Sam's age or any other kids as well, get them to watch this, get them to think about this, comment on it, have a conversation and just see where it goes.
Well, that's why I think I've talked before. I think a diversity of voice in Bitcoin is good and not not this kind of like woke culture diversity for the sake of it, actually diversity for the sake of people identifying with that person to listen to. And this is a great example of diversity of age. I think that will help.
Yep.
We're going to have to try and see if we can go younger now. Can we get a 10-year-old in? Maybe your brother.
Yeah.
He might want to set a new record. Okay, just to finish off, Ben, what do you hope for Sam?
So that's always a difficult question. I'm always very careful talking about the future with regards to anything at all, and that includes I don't want to prescribe a life for her. So, I can very broadly say, I hope she has an enjoyable life. I hope she has the best life she can have. I hope she has a lot of fun. I hope she has she learns a lot of cool things. She has a lot of interests. But, specifically around Bitcoin, I hope that if it continues to be her passion, which it looks like it is, that she's able to really, help other people and influence other people and, be this, face this way of getting people to understand Bitcoin better.
What about you, Sam? What do you hope?
I hope that for the future, I am able to continue learning about Bitcoin. I hope that people I think it's not just me. I think it's a lot of the time also other kids. When adults say, hey, this is not good, then kids, because they're kids and feel smaller, they're just like, okay, I'll stop doing that passion. But with me, I know that I'm going to continue my passion in Bitcoin. And I just hope that no one like tries to stop me, because I do feel sometimes a little insecure and scared then. But I hope that I will be able to keep building myself up and keep having this passion.
Sam, I don't think anyone's going to be able to stop you. They might put a little bump in the road and you might bounce over it. I don't think anyone's going to stop you. I think you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I say that as a huge credit to you, not as some kind of passing, patronizing adult comment. I'm blown away by you. I was in Prague. I am today. You speak eloquently, intelligently. You've got interesting insights. You make people think of things they hadn't thought about. I mean, that point on adopting Bitcoin, that you never adopted it, that is hugely important. You're a force. I have no worries about you at all. I thank you for coming on. I apologize for not taking you seriously enough in Prague to begin with, and any of my condescending boomer points. So yeah, no, I'm sorry about that. But look, I wish you the best. The people we like, me and Danny, say anything we can do to help you, we will. You get in touch. You want to come on? You want to come on again? You want to talk about anything specific? You let us know. And yeah, I wish you the best. I think you're a superstar.
Yeah, I'm thankful to have been here.
All right, all the best.
Thanks.
Right, come on! How amazing is Samantha? Not just for being a smart 12-year-old Bitcoiner, just generally, she is a brilliant Bitcoiner, and I think she's a great asset to the space. I've often talked about needing more diversity in it, not some kind of woke culture diversity. It's just sometimes it helps to orange peel people by having people they recognize. And I cannot wait to put this show in front of my daughter. I'm going to be with her later. I'm going to play her it and see what she thinks, see if this inspires her. Anyway, before we close out, you Aussie Bitcoiners out there, September the 9th, we're going to be in Sydney. Me and Danny are going to be there with Nick Bhatia, Willy Woo, Checkmate, Rusty Russell, and Dan Roberts. Hope to see some of you there. Please head over to whatbitcoindid.com, click on WBD Live and get yourself a ticket. And tomorrow's the FA Cup. The next round, we're playing MK Irish, Rail Bedford. Hopefully, it's going to be another win. All right, I love you all. I hope you have a great weekend. Any questions, hit me up on my email. It's hello@whatbitcoindid.com.